Good morning. Welcome. It's the Bible study on the Messenger of Good News, worldwide, KFUO. KFUO is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thanks for being with us. Hope you had a delightful weekend. A little rest, a little relaxation, a little work mixed in, a little bit of work always is good for you. And of course, the pause that refreshes. Hope you all made it to church yesterday. If you didn't, did you take advantage of KFUO? Did you listen to the broadcast ministry of KFUO, where we broadcast worship services on Sunday morning if you don't have a chance to get out? Maybe, you know, Pastor Andrew, sometimes you just can't get out to church. What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Turn on KFUO.
Boy, it was almost as if we planned that. Pastor Dave Andrews, you can tell by that wonderful laugh, that very distinct laugh. Pastor Dave Andrews joins us from Lutheran Blind Missions, where he serves as the executive of that fine organization. And yet every time we put you on the program, Pastor, you're from a different location. Are you going to stay put for a while now?
I hope so. And there's been a modification since last time we talked. We have united our ministry, Lutheran Blind Mission, with Lutheran Braille Workers. They're located in California. And in that, I am not the executive director anymore, but rather the director of Christian Outreach, which means I'm still doing pretty much everything the same. It's just I'm down the totem pole a little.
But your work has increased, I bet.
It has increased in the sense I'm now doing the no more administrational desk work, but rather the true ministry work, working with people who are blind and helping open up new outreach centers, finding new ways to reach out with them with the good message of Jesus.
What does that mean, working with the blind?
This weekend, for example, I will be going up to South Sioux City celebrate the 5th anniversary of their outreach center. I'll work with several people who are blind there, asking questions, see how they're doing with their outreach center. Usually an outreach center has a meal once a month. They have people who are blind come and then meet other needs. And then from there, I'm going out to Lincoln, Nebraska, where I'll be doing actually 2 days of intensive training with the leaders from Lincoln, Nebraska, who are blind. A lot of times they don't get to have the chance to go to college, barely get through high school. They have had no deeper Christian education. Sometimes they do Bible studies. Sometimes they listen to the radio, but nothing focused, directed on evangelism and how to reach people who are blind with the message of Jesus.
Well, you have mentioned in the past that sometimes blind folks can be harder than a Pharisee or even a Sadducee to crack.
They can, absolutely.
Why is that?
Sure, I'll pick you up for church, and then the people don't show up. Here's your change, and instead of $8, a 5 and 3 ones, they get 4 ones. It's just a lot of brokenness. Going to the doctor, I'm sorry, we can't fix you, so you're left walking away thinking, well, I'm broken. And they just get so many judgments and evaluations from the sighted world, along with broken promises, that they just don't trust sighted people a whole lot.
Well, why are you different? Or are you?
That was an interesting second question there. Or am I? There are times I'm guarded. Can I trust them?
Yeah.
I tend to be an optimist, putting the best foot forward. But even with that, there are times I have to hesitate and question and wonder, as well as have plan B and C ready to go in case they do fall through.
How hard was seminary for you?
It at points was tough. There were several professors who said a blind person should not be a pastor, and
there's encouraging words for you.
Yeah. And they threw in my face some biblical reasons why that a blind person shouldn't be, which was even more earth-shattering, making me think maybe I am a bad person, maybe I did do some sin, maybe God is punishing me.
So you were like the guy sitting at the beautiful gate yesterday or Friday.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. And that's the type of thing when I train people who are blind to be ready for that, as well as then to point out how we are not punished because of our circumstances. Because, and this is what, every time I go to church, most of the time, in the middle of my sermon, I stop and I point to the front. Do you got a cross up here? And everyone goes, kind of, huh? And I seriously, do you have a cross up here? And finally someone will say no or yes. And they usually say yes. And I say, good, because that's where all the punishment for all our sins went. So if you're having a bad, horrible, no good, and rotten, miserable, ugly day, nothing seems to be going right, it's not about punishment. God has a different reason.
Well, let's begin with prayer, and I think what you've started us on, this path that we're on so far, mm-hmm. plays beautifully into where we're going with this text in Acts chapter 4. We're going to do the first 22 verses, if that's okay.
Okay, yeah.
All right, if you'd open us with prayer, please.
Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you that you took our punishment so that we can stand before you now boldly to ask and receive, to know that you are with us and bless us. Help us to see how you use our earthly circumstances, especially that we might be bold, even as Peter was bold, to speak your name to others. Be with us as we look at your word here now during the next hour. In your name we give thanks. Amen.
Amen. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Email's working great, kfuo@kfuo.org. If you'd like to get in during the program, you can get in any time. Honestly, you can. I know you like to wait till the last 10 minutes, but try it a little bit earlier in the day. And see how, maybe it'll feel completely different if you call in the first half of the program as opposed to the second. All right, verse 1, chapter 4 of Acts. Mm-hmm. And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. Let's stop there for a moment.
Yeah.
Interesting. Peter's doing everything right. He's preaching. People are converting. Mm-hmm. He's challenging the establishment. The true word has come into the midst of the people. And where's... He's in jail.
You know,
how's it working out for you, Peter?
Yeah, yeah. And you know, I know there's people in our listening audience. I've done everything right. I gave back that $5. I turned back in the book. I drove on the road exactly like I should. And bam, it hits us. That it's like, why am I being punished for doing what's right, what's good? Well, you know, sometimes it's circumstances, especially on the road. My wife says, you know, she's a good driver. It's all the other people out there that scare her.
How are you driving?
You
pulled that on me once before. You knew I was going to bring it up.
Yeah, I have driven, for those of you who in the audience haven't heard me say that. Scared a lot of people, too, as I was driving down and waving right down the middle of the college campus, waving and driving. It's kind of like, oh, my gosh, is it a miracle? Which we'll get to in a few other verses. But anyway, yeah. It can be a problem when we have life going on. We think we're doing everything right. But circumstances happen. And I think instead of going, why me, we should say instead, wow, Lord, what good are you going to work from it today?
Hmm. Well, you know, in contemporary American culture, we are fond as Christians, and I'm speaking very broadly because I think this is a symptom of the church, you know, across the country. We love to scream persecution, and there are not good times right now compared to, you know, the 50s and other periods of history in the United States. But chapter 4 is really going to demonstrate what real persecution, real opposition looks like. Mm-hmm. And is that a good, you know, iron strengthens iron. Is this a good way to strengthen the iron of today by looking at what Peter had to endure?
Yes. Peter went through a huge amount, and we get a glimpse here in Acts. There's also some other wonderful Christian novels based upon the books of Acts, as well as other historical writings that can let you really feel and experience what those Christians had to go through. And we are the recipients and the blessed, and are blessed because of it, because the gospel continued to share and go forth. And it could be that someday God may lift his hand of circumstances that our country will turn back to great persecution. There are some in our country who would already say it already is happening because of what they are experiencing. Mm-hmm. And with that all, I always say, you know, those who don't like the gospel, they need to hear the gospel. How better can they hear the gospel but to be brought up against it? In verse 2, it talks about them being greatly disturbed. Oh, greatly disturbed. And it was I thought it was interesting that Peter was preaching the resurrection, and it was the Sadducees
who came.
There you
go, yeah. I was going to ask about that, because they don't make too many appearances.
No, they don't.
It's mainly the Pharisees that are having problems.
They are known for not believing in the resurrection. The Pharisees believe that there would be a resurrection, but not the Sadducees. Not the Sadducees. And, you know, I've never pursued that further, because I know you're going to ask, well, what then did they believe? It could be that they just believed it's this life and that's it, or just heaven and you float off in a spiritual vacuum. But they did not believe in the resurrection of the body. So for Peter to be talking about Jesus being raised, and that if we believe in him, we will be raised, that's one of the key things that greatly disturbed him.
Now, I don't want to get you in trouble, but can you look at the Sadducees of being the religious liberals of their day?
That's not a far fetch at all. It is very true. Very true. And there are actually, I heard in working with, and they probably are within our listening audience, actually, up in Keokuk, Iowa, we have an outreach center, believe it or not. It's called the Tri-State Outreach. It reaches Iowa, Missouri, and Illinois. And the pastor there, Pastor Dahmer, he's a retired man, about 82, 83, and he says, you know, this church can't afford any pastors, so I'm serving them. He's just a gem of a guy. And he is one of the people that is very involved with that outreach center is a Methodist. And he said, I like working with John. John is blind because this guy believes in the resurrection. Most Methodists don't believe in the resurrection anymore. In fact, there's only one Methodist seminary in the United States now that teaches the resurrection, according to Pastor Dahmer.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Most of them do not. I knew it was true about a lot of them, but I understand the majority do not teach the resurrection anymore.
Well, when you help me understand something about, and this, especially for Americans, I don't know why this is, we are absolutely perplexed as Christians why we're not better liked. I mean, when you look at Luke 12, you know, the division verses 51 mm-hmm. to 53, you know, everyone seems to be divided against everyone else because mm-hmm. of, I thought Jesus was supposed to be a uniter, not a divider. And then, you know, if you're a Christian, people ought to like you because you're a good person.
You haven't read that other verse, though, where Jesus says, I've not come to bring peace, but a sword. A man will be against his father and mother. No, he never said that. He never said that. In fact, John 14, we were talking about this the other day with some friends, and I love verse 27, peace I leave you, not as the world gives do I give you. And when we think of peace and harmony as Christians, we're thinking in the world that there'll be an end of hostility and everyone will like us. But Jesus is very clear that's not what he meant by that word peace. Rather, it's the peace between us and the Father, and that gives us everlasting life with the resurrection of the body. Had to toss that back in there.
But wouldn't you like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony, Coke and a Smile? Wouldn't that be a better place?
I like that song. It's a peppy song.
Yeah. A lot of the 20-somethings are going, what is he talking about?
I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. You know, this is way off track, but my wife heard a report that the melodies of the 70s and 80s were always upbeat and made you whistle, but now in the last decade, they've shifted. And they don't have the, especially for the younger people, quite the same impact because they're doing different progressions of chords. And I thought, that's why I don't like the music today.
No, you're absolutely right.
Would I like to teach the world a thing or two? Sure. But they're not listening. Even as these Sadducees who saw the man in standing in front of them, walking around. We're going to find it, verse 22. He's 40 years old. The reason it was noted that is everybody knew him. He'd been around a long time. And so this is an extremely significant thing. 40 years of walking by this man who was crippled, and now he is the one who's walking. There's no denying the fact there is a miracle. And yet the Sadducees, what am I going to do about this? They didn't accept the truth, but instead, what am I going to do about this?
Hmm. Well, what is it? Why must the gospel, and especially those who proclaim it, always overturn the apple cart? Why can't they just coexist and live in tolerance with everyone else?
Well, there are two reasons.
I mean, why couldn't Peter affirm the beliefs of the Sadducees?
Because they're not true!
Well, I know it sounds ridiculous, but this is how we think today.
Yeah,
Pastor, it makes me crazy, but people really are affirming this. I mean, for example, can you believe that Jesus was a really great guy, a great teacher, and deny that he's the only way to heaven and still be in the faith?
People want to believe what they want to believe because they want to live their life. That's what it really comes down to. And that's what the Sadducees, one of the issues they had. The other was power. They had some power and clout and authority, and that was a hard thing to get in this time with the Roman occupation. They had to work hard to get what they got. And now this guy is talking about this, and he's going to take rest of their power and the people away. And so whether it be them back then, the Sadducees, or us today, we want to believe what we want to believe so we can have power and influence and we can live the life we want to live. And I was catching some of the last half hour about the strong-willed child. The strong-willed child wants to live the life they want to live, and it's hard to get through to them. And we are strong-willed children, strong-willed of the sinful will.
Well, that's true, but that makes me, that brings a question to mind, Pastor Andrus, and that is, how much of what's coming against Peter and what's coming against the church today is satanic, and how much of it is just good old-fashioned sinful nature of man? Does Satan really need to get involved here? Or are we good enough at ruining the thing ourselves?
In Bible class yesterday, I was in town yesterday, and I taught Bible class at Glendale Lutheran Church, and we asked that very question: how much is the Satan involved with things? And I pointed out in 1 Peter chapter 3 that Peter refers to the demons and the devil chained up in hell, and they went but, and they said, well, first you need to realize when it talks about demons chained up, first off, the chains are referring to not the physical iron like us, but because they are spirits, that's a reference to them and they're limited of their power. And then I went on to say, I think most of the time it's our sinful nature. Now, that's not to say that the devil, who is chained up in hell, can't sit on our shoulder and say, Hey, Roland, why don't you... And then it's our sinful nature. Yeah, not a bad idea. And we go off and do it. But it's usually our sinful will, our sinfulness that leads us to do things. The devil, he can tempt us, but it's we who are the actors and the doers.
Pastor Dave Andrus, our guest this morning, we're in Acts chapter 4, the first 22 verses. And as we read these first three, four verses here, Pastor, there seem to be three people coming in opposition, or three groups that are coming in opposition to Peter. You've got the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees. Now, you've talked about the Sadducees, but what was the interest of the priests and the captain of the temple to get Peter out of there as quickly as possible?
Well, the captain of the temple was the second most important, most powerful person. He was the right-hand man of the high priest. And so the high priest probably sent him because as he is called the captain of the guard, the high priest can speak. But when the captain of the guard speaks, the soldiers jump up and do. And so that's why he was sent. It was to actually do something. The priests, they in the temple, there were sacrifices, and there were always priests on duty. And so this was disturbing to them because the people were listening to the disciples and stopped listening to their teaching. Could have been a Pharisees, although it doesn't say Pharisees, though I tend to think they predominantly were Pharisees.
Well, because they're called out separately, that would be my... But one thing that crossed my mind here, and I think maybe is missed a little bit, you have this guy who used to sit outside the temple at the beautiful gate, was not permitted in because of his deformity, is now suddenly in the temple, and the priests have not approved him to be there.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I didn't think of that wrinkle, but you are absolutely correct. The priest, even as Jesus said to the lepers, go show yourself to the priest. The priests were the ones who had to verify that they were acceptable to come in.
And this guy didn't have his green card.
That's right. That's right.
Now, that might really cheese somebody off if you're part of the temple establishment.
Well, sure.
Because don't they throw him in jail along with Peter and John?
It doesn't say so.
Well, then he shows up at the trial here in a few moments, so that's what I was wondering.
Yes. Boy, that would take some chutzpah to throw him in jail.
Yeah.
But they may have, mostly as a, we got to hold this witness before we decide what's going to happen. They didn't want him to duck away.
Yeah. Verse 5, on the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem. Now we've got another group here, the scribes, who turns up. They're not present in the first few verses. In Jerusalem, with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in their midst, they inquired, by what power or by what name did you do this? Well, you cannot miss the fact that this is the same bunch that sent Jesus off to be crucified.
That's right. It mentioned a couple more people, too, and I did a little looking on that. I could not find who they are, other than maybe it's just more important people that the high priest is trying to bring his family in into the power so that when he steps down, the family will still have power. That's the best I could find with these other names.
Hmm.
But the key is, with mentioning these, the people would have known. And they would have known these are the power brokers of the day.
And what's interesting is this isn't a courtroom setting where all the business takes, or even like church, all the business takes place up in the front and then you've got everyone. They encircled them. I take that to mean when they say they put them in their midst. That's got to be intimidating on top of it. Now, you've got Peter, who is a witness to all these things, knows the culpability of these men in the crucifixion.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, what's going through his mind?
First, the one note you made, I was going to bring this up later, and we have to bring it up because the text in these 22 verses again and again and again, this must have been an extremely intimidating situation.
Oh, yeah.
Just fishermen. And here they are in the most powerful, second most powerful place, probably Pilate, the Roman, who could execute torture and death, would be seen as the worst. But I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you've been in the high muckamucks and with people of influence, and I have once or twice, and my gosh, you get really nervous and tongue-tied and intimidated. I think that has to be noted here very clearly. And I think that was what they were trying to do as step number one, is intimidate these guys to shut up.
And that's sort of the whole point that even permeates today's culture.
Yes.
Keep your thoughts, keep your faith, keep your beliefs to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Stumm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Boy, nothing changes.
No.
Nothing. I don't know why I'm surprised at that still, but when we come across this in Scripture, it shows itself to be true even today. Hey, Pastor Dave, when we get back, this is a good question they ask. Now, are they asking this question by what authority, by what power, legitimately, or do they really want an answer? This is the Bible Study. We'll be right back after the break. You can join us, 505-7850-1800. 730-2727. Welcome back to the Bible study. It's Acts chapter 4, the first 22 verses. That's our assignment for today with Pastor Dave Andrus from Lutheran Blind Missions. Did you give the website earlier if folks wanted to invite you to come preach or support the mission in some way?
I have not, and I'd be happy to. It is blindmission.org.
Is there anything pressing that you need right now?
Pressing? No. No, we always can use financial support, volunteers, interest, as well as referrals. Probably the pressing need would be referrals. If you know someone who's blind or visually impaired, have them link up with us. We would love that.
And that's LutheranBlindMission.org.
O-R-G.
Mm-hmm. All right, as we went to the break, you know, the guys have been brought in front of the Sanhedrin. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And the question is asked, by what power or by what name did you do this? But back in verse 2, it's already clearly identified they were proclaiming in Jesus' name what was going on. So is this a legitimate question? Are they trolling for some self-incriminate? What is the reason for asking this question?
I think there's a couple possibilities here. And it isn't totally clear, although Peter will make it very clear. There were sorcerers, there were people that dealt with the magic arts, and they were probably thinking, oh, these guys picked this up, and sure, they were followers of Jesus, but, you know, he was just one of these weird, funky guys, and maybe he was one of these sorcerers, and they were trying to poo-poo Jesus off that way, too, as just another passing sorcerer. It was always known back then that there was power, there was the ability to affect and change our world. You can look at the magicians that Moses ran into. There still at that time was a plethora of gods, whether it be the Romans or any group around. So that's why they were asking, in part, by what name. They didn't think Jesus was God, so what God are you calling on to do this, you Gentiles? You must be pulling in somebody. And I think what they were trying to do, personally, from a selfish point of view, they were thinking, if we can just identify their God, we can clap down on them because this is Israel, and we can nail them on that.
So it's, but at the same time, Pastor Dave, is it also, are they essentially saying, we don't respect your claim that Jesus has any authority?
Oh, absolutely.
So they're saying, no, really, Jesus, absolutely. Now who are you really doing this for?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah,
and
okay.
And they probably figured there was some other God, some other power, and okay, you pulled up this dead guy, and they're talking about him, but yeah, no, come on, who is it really? Exactly. They didn't believe what they had heard.
At verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders,
I'm going to stop you right there.
Okay.
Remember, this is this intimidating situation, and yet Peter boldly spoke up. Okay, now read on.
Not only is it again, Caiaphas is there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you ever had a reason to recant and run, this was it, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So he doesn't really answer. He just sort of says, look, you know, we healed somebody.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. A couple things here, yeah.
Yeah.
For a good deed. And he brings that up. And not a trickery or anything. Hey, we helped this guy walk. That's a good deed. Why are you slamming us? That's one thing that I think that made them squirm. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, Peter brought that forward.
But didn't this same group accuse Jesus of doing these same things by the power of Beelzebub?
Yes. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. And that's what they were expecting. They still were not obviously believing Jesus is God. They did not believe Jesus was raised from the dead. Otherwise, they would be Christians and be marching with Peter. They were concerned about their power, their life. And so all that's poppycock. So where'd you get the power?
And Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, anything, why would they be using Nazareth? Why not just leave it at Jesus, Jesus Christ?
They were, it'd be like saying, well, Roland is not a common name, but Dave is. Well, it's done by Dave. You know, if I showed you, if you saw a piece of furniture, well, this was made by Dave. That's not very clear, but if you'd say Dave Andrus, oh, now that's clear. And so by putting Jesus of Nazareth, it was identifying exactly. And then to put in Christ, ooh, now that was actually raising some hackles on the back of their neck.
So it's not the Nazareth part I should notice, but the Christ part.
Correct.
Well, what did that mean to those people, that word Christ?
The anointed one, the Messiah, the one God promised to send, the one who would redeem the people, the one who would free Israel from their bondages. It's all contained in the word Christ.
Now, for these learned men, Peter is putting out some very confusing theology at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because how would it make sense that the Messiah would be killed in the first place? This has got to be a nutty concept for these guys.
It is. It is. And I think that's one reason why it took a while. And we do hear later in Acts that there were priests who would believe and come to the faith. But it took them a while. What? What are you talking about? And they went back and looked at the scriptures, and sure enough, the servant would be the suffering servant. Oh,
Isaiah.
Yeah.
But Peter doesn't go to Isaiah. He goes to the Psalms in verse 11. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. So why not go to Isaiah to prove this? Why go to the Psalms?
You know, that's a question I kind of scratch my head at, too.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, from history point of view, we can say this was the foundational time of the church establishment upon Jesus as Savior. So we, in hindsight, can really see he is the cornerstone. And people would have known then, more so than today, that it's the first stone laid that will help make that house rock solid. And we kind of know it today. If you don't have a good foundation in your house, it's going to cause you big trouble.
Oh, yeah.
And so people then would have understood this, and especially as they stood in the temple, that the cornerstone laying was a significant thing they probably still talked about. That was like 47 years earlier. No, it was more than that. That was rebuilt. But my point is they would have understood a cornerstone. And so to use that reference and to say that this Jesus is now the cornerstone and to use that Bible verse, that would have made them scratch their heads. This is what? But they would have understood the concept. This is something new upon which many things will be built.
Now, does Peter not know his scriptures? Because this is not exactly how this verse from Psalm reads. He almost personalizes it. The stone that was rejected by you, the builders. I don't recall saying by you.
I looked at that psalm, and I don't remember what it says now.
Yeah, it says rejected by the builders, but he puts it by you, the builders.
Ah, thank you. Thank you for pointing that out. And I have in front of me, by the way, and for your audience, a Braille Bible. Well, I have one volume of it. If I close it, it's 1¼ inches thick. It's just the Book of Acts.
Yeah.
The Braille Bible is on two shelves of my bookcase over there. Adding up about 5 feet. So I can't have everything open and quick flip through. So thank you for that quick reference there. That's interesting that he did. And I think that would have made them scratch their heads as well.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. If you're scratching your head, now's a great time to call in with Pastor Dave Andrus from Lutheran Blind Missions. Bob, good morning. You're up first today. How are you?
Good morning, Roland. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning, Bob.
I've got a question.
I realized that Jesus or Joshua or whatever form his name would have taken in among the Hebrews was a common name, and there was a lot of those kind of folks running around. But when you add Christ, is that not a title rather than a last name? And is that not a designation of this one is the one who you should listen to, and the one to whom who you crucified?
You are correct, but you're doing that in hindsight. We can say and do all of that. This was a new concept for them, because he was known as Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus referred to himself as Christ, but usually quietly, because he did not want to start riots, because at that point in their history, and this is why Peter said, I just lost it. Well, in general, people thought that meant Jesus was going to go and throw the Romans out, because they still were thinking politically. And so for Peter to add Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that was significant. That would have made them look back and forth at each other.
But Christ was not a name that was applied to people of that day.
That is correct. You are correct.
It was really more of a title.
That is correct.
Than a name. Okay, that's what I thought. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob.
You're welcome.
Okay. Have a great week. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And verse 12, and there is salvation in no one else. Now, this is where they're really going to be scratching their heads. For there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved.
Now, I got to point out right away with the verse before that, when Peter used the word heal, and now he says there is no one else. Salvation, that word, and by which can be saved, they all have a similar a root word.
Ah.
That it could have been understood there's salvation or healing. Making whole is no other name but by Jesus. Can we be made whole, complete, saved, healed? And they would have heard that. They would have thought, because of the context of this man who was lame, that he was talking healing. But now Peter did a twist, and it's really a play on words that he did here with verse 12 by using the same word and shifting it slightly and pushing it forward to, I'm not talking just healing, guys. I'm talking about being made whole eternally.
And they would not, especially the Sadducees, wouldn't be thinking in those terms.
They would not, but the way Peter phrased it, they would not but have
been. But,
you
know, this guy's just a fisherman. Where's he getting this stuff?
Yeah, that's right. They would have caught the innuendo that he's jabbing at them. Absolutely.
Especially this guy who denied Christ three times, which I'm sure they were aware of, though it doesn't come up here. Hey, you know, we call ourselves Worldwide KFUO, and here's the reason why, Pastor Dave.
Yeah.
Here's an email from our dear friend Ing-Marie in Sweden.
Oh, my.
Who is listening via stream right now.
Indeed.
She says, hi. In verse 8, it says Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. We get the Holy Spirit when we are baptized. Does Peter get the Holy Spirit in another way or form here when he gets filled? That's a good question.
It is a marvelous question. One I can give an answer to, but would take a long time of looking at Bible verses to really flesh out that I think... I'll give the answer, but she's probably going to say, I don't get it. I mentioned earlier about the devil on one shoulder saying, hey, Roland, why don't you?
Yes.
Well, on the other shoulder is the Holy Spirit. Hey, Roland, let's do some good. And it's the Holy Spirit that actually probably better fixed in our heart, not our shoulder. Maybe that's a better analogy. We do have the Holy Spirit once we believe, because by no other name can we say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:2. Here, though, when it talks about Peter being filled with the Holy Spirit, it means to do something special, that it's the Spirit guiding his words, not just the Spirit for salvation, but the Spirit for specific action for the kingdom.
Well, Ing, I hope that Ing-Marie, I hope that answers the question. If you need a follow-up, we still have a few minutes. You can email in another one. But thanks for that email. Good to hear from, I guess it's what? It's about 5, 6 o'clock in the evening.
Wow, yeah.
In Sweden right now.
Mm-hmm. There are several other references where it talks about filled with the Holy Spirit, they did this or that. Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, was led out into the desert. Usually means not his action, not his word, but guided by the Holy Spirit. That's how we would more interpret it.
Like St. Stephen and his martyrdom.
Exactly.
All right. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. If, like Ing-Marie, you'd like to email in, KFUO at KFUO.org. Rick, good morning. Thanks for your patience.
Hey, good morning, Roland. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking my call, Roland. When Pastor started explaining the word Christ, it's just like a couple of weeks ago, went through my readings, when I would get to that name, I would say Jesus the Anointed One.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus the Anointed One. Because here in the United States, it's getting close to election time. And every time we come around to one of these, you start hearing the Second Chronicles 7:14 verse. Can we really apply that to our lives today? Because they say, oh, well, his name was Christ. And we're Christians. We're called by his name. But that's not his name. I mean, that's not his last name. That is, like you said, a title, the Anointed One. So can we transfer that over, you know, to today as they so want to do?
If I understand your question, no. I'm not comfortable when they translate it over like that. I am not. There is a parallel in the sense that you would say Mr. President, that's his title. And he has that title because he took the oath of office. And literally in the Old Testament, that they anointed the king with oil, with a huge, I mean, they just dumped it over his head. And that was a clear indication. It was done by the prophet, like Samuel, with Saul and then David, that this was now the king chosen by God. And so it is a title. And so the only connection you can really do today is that to the title president. To go more than that, no, I'm not comfortable.
Okay, well, that makes two of us.
Good.
Okay.
Thanks. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, thanks, Rick. Have a great day. Good to hear from you. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. It strikes me, Pastor Andrus, that verse 12 really is the key verse here. Among all the other things that are going on, you can't be distracted from 12, and there is salvation in no one else. And that's the big bugaboo today.
Right. Yeah, people want it in something else, that there be many roads to heaven. But there is, salvation is found in no one else.
Well, just for fun, let me ask again, because I asked it a different way earlier, but why, that's the question that always gets you in trouble, why must Christianity be so exclusive?
We need to look at who we are as the human race. We are sinful. We're separated from God. And because we are separated from God, all our efforts, all our work cannot get us to God. The only way we can be by God is because God came and did it. And that's the difference between Christianity and all other religions of the world. Christianity says God came down, God worked out the salvation, God paid the penalty, and because he did it, we now are by him. I'm using those kind of words, by him or with him or whatever preposition you want to use there. It's God's action, not ours.
So it must be important then, based on what you just said, Pastor Andrus, to really discern that Jesus not only teaches the truth, but is the truth.
The truth. Absolutely.
So to believe anything other than what he says is to believe a lie.
That is correct. No one else can save. No one else can bring us to salvation. because he was without sin. That's why he is the perfect substitute. He had no sin, though he was tempted in every way, though he was fully human. He went the road of a sinner with the death and the punishment of a sinner. That's how we started out, by saying the cross. That's where our punishment went. So now when we trust that, our punishment, our sin is gone. And therefore it is only by him, only through him, that we can be saved and enter heaven.
Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. Okay, so they finally figure out, oh, yeah, these two guys, yeah, they were with that nutty guy Jesus. Mm-hmm. So we know where, but wait a minute. You can't deny the fact that they did something.
Mm-hmm. Yep, with the guy standing there.
Yeah. So, I mean, what's interesting is verse 15, how they react to this. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, what shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Which tells me even more so, they were concerned about their power, not the truth.
Someone will come and take our place.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Hmm.
Which raises the question, in life, what are we most concerned about? Our power, our prestige, our position, our actions, our leverage, or are we concerned, well, to put it in this, the truth, doing what's right?
Hmm. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name. So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach all in the name of Jesus. Hmm. That does sound awfully familiar today.
It does.
Can't pray before a football game. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't put a cross. Everything old is new again.
And I love, this is a couple of years ago, just after, before a football game, the prayers were banned, and the captain of the football team in high school came up to the microphone and said, you know, we're told that we couldn't pray, but if I would have prayed, I would have prayed like this.
Yeah.
And then he went on and did it. Now, that's boldness.
Yeah, the best one I heard was high school graduation where the valedictorian, under the same commendation not to do that,
mm-hmm.
Sneezed.
Mm.
And the crowd said, God bless you.
Wow.
Yeah, well,
wow.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Yeah.
But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. And when they had further threatened them, and again, I can imagine what they must have hurled at these guys,
mm-hmm.
they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom the sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. And you mentioned that at the start of our time together.
I love how the disciples said, hey, it's up to you. If you don't want to believe this, that's up to you. But we can't stop speaking what we have done and what we have seen. It's kind of like they were being very respectful, actually, I think, at that moment, because they could have been far more incendiary to them, but no, you do what you have to, but we're going to do what we have to.
Now, we've got about a minute left, but for a first century Jew, they're being essentially threatened with excommunication here, aren't they?
Yes.
How horrible would it have been to be a Jew and put out of the temple?
It would have been terrible, because it wouldn't have been just the temple. It would have been the synagogues. It would have been the communities. They were so woven tightly together at that time. It would have been horrendous. Horrendous.
Yeah, and the ironic twist here is that they can be put out of the temple,
mm-hmm.
but the Holy Spirit is now dwelling within them.
Mm-hmm.
So what can these men really do to them?
Indeed. Indeed.
And that's the point of this text, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. With boldness, led by the Spirit, they spoke gently but firmly what they had seen and heard. And that's what a good witness is. And that's what we're called to do. Not do miracles, but to speak of what we've seen and heard. Jesus, who loved us.
Pastor Dave Andrus is with Lutheran Blind Missions. You can follow their work, support them at what website again, Pastor?
Blindmission.org.
Blindmission.org. And if your pastor is going out of town for a weekend, call Pastor Dave. He's a great preacher. I've seen that. Pastor, thanks for your time this morning. Great lesson.
Thank you.
All the best. Coming up next, Pastor Kevin Golden is here for Ask the Pastor. Stick around.
Listen to the Bible Study Monday through Friday at this same time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is heard weekdays on KFUO Radio, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.